There's this amazing scripture. I want to talk about resonating with a season, with this moment of time, with this dispensation that we're living in. There's a great scripture in Chronicles. It talks about the men of Issachar, and you hear this quoted a lot of times, and I want to take you there. It says, these are the men that came to David at Ziklag while he was living there, and while he was banished from the presence of Saul, son of Kish, they were among the warriors who helped him in battle. And then there proceeds to be a long listing of different men and women from tribes who came to help David at Ziklag. And one of them is, in verse 32, from Issachar, from the tribe of Issachar, men who understood the times and knew what Israel was to do. And the interesting thing about this is that currently Saul at the time is appointed the king. He is established in Jerusalem as the king, and David has been anointed to be king, and these people are still under a dispensation where Saul is the official king, but they have understood what God is doing. They've understood that Saul has turned his heart away from God and is basically running away, but David is the anointed man of God, and so they make a choice to leave and to put their lives at risk and to go to David at Ziklag to join him and become rebels in a society, because they understand that this is what God has done, that God has laid his hand on this man, has anointed him and has appointed him to be the next king of Israel. And so they refuse to follow a demon-possessed man, and they go to the next man and they say, "We are here to make you king. We've come to help you." They understood the times and they knew what Israel should do. People of perception, of spiritual understanding, who have an ability to read the season and go, this is the way the wind is blowing. This is the way that God, by his Spirit, is leading us, and we're going to follow that, even though it's not particularly necessarily the most advantageous thing to do. Are you still with me? So I want to talk about how do we resonate with what the Holy Spirit is doing in these times, because that's the point of this sermon series. We want to be the kind of people that resonate with what God is doing. I want to be on board, on post, on time with what the Spirit of God is doing in our nation, in our time. I don't want to be out of step with the Spirit of God. I want to be like the men of Issachar, understanding the times and knowing what needs to be done. Now, all week I've had this picture in my spirit of a scripture that comes out of Micah, but it's the scripture about sheep in a pen. And the morning has come and they're bursting to get out, and there's a disturbance in the sheep. They're unsettled by the night. They've been stable, steady too long, and the gate is beginning to open and they start to butt each other and jump up and down. If you've ever seen sheep coming out of a pen, you'll understand the picture. This is the way they do it. Now, Micah is the one who prophesied this. He prophesied between 735 and 715 BC. To put that in perspective, it's as though someone who lived in 1289 to 1309 prophesied about our day. Right? 700 years ago, somebody brought a prophetic word about what's going to happen in 2024. And so he prophesied this real mix of judgment and hope. And he's probably best known for his prophecy about that the Messiah was going to be born in Bethlehem of Ephrathah. And so people knew him that he was a prophet who prophesied messianic prophecies. He spoke about the Messiah. The other one that's most quoted is in 6:8, "He has shown you, O man, what is good and what the Lord requires of you, to act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God." And he spoke about God would forgive sins and pardon transgressions in the remnant, and that he wouldn't stay angry forever. But in amongst all of those hopeful passages, he also prophesied a lot of doom and gloom. But in Micah, we find this passage that I kind of was the real picture in my spirit about the shepherd that was considered in the day of Jesus. They considered this passage, this was a prophecy about the Messiah and about the helper who was going to come just before the Messiah. And so the Jewish sages, they would talk about this, that there's a helper and there's a king and there's the sheep and what's going on. And they understood that from the scripture, and we'll read it just a minute, that there is going to come one who breaks open the way. And the forerunner or the helper or the messenger who's going to cause people to repent and get ready, and then the Messiah is going to come and then he's going to break open something. There's a new day coming. There's a new era coming. The difference is going to happen. So let me read this to you from Micah 2. He says, I will surely gather all of you, Jacob. I will surely bring together the remnant of Israel, and I will bring them together like sheep in a pen. Like a flock in its pasture, the place will throng with people. And the one who breaks open the way will go up before them, and they will break through the gate and go out. And their king will pass through before them, the Lord at their head. Now, in order to make sense of this passage, I just need to tell you a few things, but I want us to, before, you have to have an understanding of how sheep were put in a pen in Israel during this time, and how the shepherd then would build a door at the where the doorway was out of loose stones. He'd pile up stones so that he filled up the doorway, and the shepherd would generally take his position in the doorway so the sheep couldn't get past him. But in the morning, so that kept them safe all night, but in the morning, the sheep who were ready, the dawn had come, the sheep were like, let's get out of here, you know, let's go. And the shepherd usually would have a helper outside, and he would begin to break down the door that the shepherd had built. He'd begin to pull down the stones. Let me show you a photo of this is the kind of thing that it looks like in Israel. There's just this massive stone pen, and then they would push the sheep in, and then they'd build a doorway out of stones. Let me show you another photo of another similar idea, right? So they would corral all the sheep inside, and then they would build this transitional doorway, just a little picture of stones, and pile them up. And this is just a photo of sheep coming out, because, you know, you got to see this. When sheep come out, they don't come out calmly. They come bursting out. You know, some of the more robust sheep start butting the stones and bumping each other because they want to get out. It's time to go. Now, the scripture says the Lord will break through. Because somebody's going to come and they're going to start to demolish the safe door that's been erected during the night. And that place that the shepherd takes up, where the shepherd's been sleeping, and the stones that have filled the gap are going to start to be moved. And this great throng of sheep, he said, waiting for the door and eager to go out, eager for space, and they're going to burst out and they're going to come out. Now, clearly, we know that scripture is talking about John the Baptist and Jesus and the time that the kingdom was going to erupt. The kingdom was going to come down and be shown. There was going to be a messenger who would come out and start to break down the door, and then the sheep would just get so riled up that they would burst out and the king would go out in front of them. So this is what Israel were waiting for. Now, the problem was John the Baptist came on the scene, started breaking down the door. He started saying, listen, guys, the kingdom of heaven is close. It's almost here. Woo! People started to go, oh, that's great. Maybe he's the Messiah. And he was like, no, I'm not the Messiah. And then everything's going well because Jesus comes. John baptizes him. He sees the Holy Spirit descend on him like a dove. He goes, that's the Lamb of God who takes away the... They go, how do you know? He said, the God told me that when you see the Spirit come down, that's the guy. And he goes, that is the guy right there. And then he goes, ta-da. And then they arrest John. Now he's in prison. So let me take you there. Jesus goes to Nain, which is a little village. As he gets to the village, a mother is coming out, a widow, and she's lost her only son. And she's grieving at the sight of his coffin. And Jesus walks up to the coffin, stops everybody, puts his hand on the coffin and says to the little boy, come on, stop this death nonsense. Come out here. And so he sits up and gives it back to the mom. And this is fairly large news, you can imagine, right? It's not every day you see a resurrection from the dead. So let me take you to Luke 7. It says, the dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. And they were all filled with awe and praised God. A great prophet has appeared among us, they said. God has come to help his people. The last time this had happened, Elijah had raised a young boy from the dead. So that's why they connected. They go, another prophet has arrived. And this news about Jesus spread throughout Judea. You could hardly keep that to yourself. If you were there, what did you do this weekend? Let me tell you. I went to a funeral, ended up at a party. It was a thing. This news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and all the surrounding country, and John's disciples told him about all these things. Now John's in prison, and his disciples come, "Guys, what's going on?" They go, "Jesus just raised the guy from the dead." And John's response, you'd think, would be, "Praise God." Calling two of them, he sent them to the Lord to ask, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect somebody else?" And when the men came to Jesus, they said, "John the Baptist sent us to you to ask, are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?" And at that time, Jesus cured many who had diseases and sicknesses and evil spirits and gave sight to many who were blind. So he replied to the messengers, "Go back and report to John what you have seen and heard." Now that phrase, "what you see and hear," is a well used often by the rabbis. It was a common colloquialism, like what you see and hear. And the expectation is when the kingdom of God comes, you're going to be able to see and hear reports. Because for years, nobody had seen God move, but the expectation of the Jews is when the kingdom comes, when God shows up, when God himself shows up, you're going to be able to see and hear it. And Jesus says to them, go back and tell John what you've seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me. Problem is, John had prophesied judgment and fire, unquenchable fire, and Jesus was demonstrating unquenchable love. John had said, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath?" Because he misunderstood that the coming wrath, before the coming wrath, was going to be a great season of good news and the love of God demonstrated, and of grace and of mercy and of kindness from God and reconciliation and restoration. He said, "The axe is going to be laid to the root of the tree and unquenchable fire is going to burn you ugly people." And here is Jesus befriending sinners and eating in tax collectors' homes and healing Roman centurion servants and evangelizing Samaritans and touching prostitutes and refusing to condemn a woman caught in adultery and being the light to the Gentiles. And John is ticked. So Jesus says to John's disciples, "Go back, tell him what you see and hear. Go back and tell him the sheep are just breaking out. Sheep are bursting out of the pen. Stuff is going on everywhere. John, the restless sheep are breaking out. That process that you started, look at where it is. Sheep everywhere, rushing into the streets, displaying the kingdom of God, because the kingdom is breaking out everywhere. Too much for Herod, much more than the Romans can handle. You started something, John. There's a hole in this season. There is a moment in this time where the kingdom is breaking out and the future is making a dent in the present. The sheep are breaking out, John." And he goes on, Matthew tells us, and Jesus, after they left, he said, "Truly I tell you, among those born of woman, there's not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet whoever is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. For from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been subjected to violence, and violent people have been raiding it." This picture is somewhat discussed many times, many different opinions about, is this the way it's written in the Greek? It can be either the kingdom is suffering violence or the kingdom is doing violence. Now, I like this interpretation. I like the old NIV, which says the kingdom suffers violence and violent people are forcing their way into the kingdom. And that fits better with the picture of the sheep who just is just tired. This is taking too long to break this door down. The sheep just butts, says, "Come follow me," and they start busting out. I like that. It's the way the kingdom is. It's the people who are bold. It's the people who can't wait anymore. It's the people who are hungry. Say, "I want to press into the things of God. I want to see the power of God. I want to know the presence of the Spirit of God. I want to see breakthrough. I want to know glory. I'm not sitting back here in the sheep pen. I'm not stuck in religion. I'm not settling for the old way. I'm not happy with powerlessness. I can't wait for the door to be broken down. I'm pushing in. I want to get out." For all the law and the prophets prophesied until John. They came into agreement, the law and the prophets, but if you are willing to accept it, he is the Elijah who was to come. He is the one who starts the breakthrough. He is that guy. Whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, it was widely believed by the rabbis that when the Messiah came, his coming would be attended with all sorts of miracles. Because they believed, because all this messianic prophecy said, when he comes, man, when the Messiah comes, stuff starts to break out. Things are starting to happen. It wouldn't just be the Messiah coming, but all around him, people would be given sight and there would be signs and miracles and wonders. And it's often said that in the intertestamental times, nothing was going on. But historically, you find a lot of things were happening in Judaism. And there was the Maccabee revolt and then the Roman persecution. So there's a lot going on, but no sense of the presence of God, no sense of the voice of God, but God starts to break into time and the kingdom starts to poke holes in the reality of those people who were waiting. There had been whispers, tears in the fabric of want where people started to say, but I think God is coming. The day of a flourish of miracles and breakthroughs. So there's a man, Zechariah, who's one of the Levites, and he goes into the temple because it's their time as their group of Levitical priests, and every day they choose who's supposed to go into the holy place, and the lot falls to him, and he goes in and he's ministering in the holy place, an angel appears to him and tells him, you're going to have a son, and his name's going to be John, and he's going to be great in the kingdom, and he's going to be the servant of the Most High. And he expresses unbelief. And so Gabriel says to him, listen, you're not going to be able to speak out that unbelief until the baby's born. So he says, you're going to be mute. And so everybody's waiting for him, because what should have taken him like half an hour has now been 2 or 3 hours. And he eventually comes stumbling out and he's struck dumb, and they know something happened. And he obviously writes to them, I saw an angel. And his barren wife, who's in her probably late 40s at the time, is too old for children, and he finds out she's pregnant, just according to the word of the Lord. So let's read. Listen to this. This is what the angel said. This is Luke 1. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord. Okay, remember when you have this scripture in the back of your mind, when you go, he's going to go out before the Lord, they're thinking about that shepherd and the guy who breaks open the way. He will go out before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to the children and to the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people who will be prepared for the Lord. An angelic presence. The glory of God showed up in the temple. People started to buzz. Next thing that happens is a whole bunch of wise men come from the east and they go to Herod and they say, where is the king that was born of the Jews? We've seen his star and we've come to worship him. And Herod is not the guy that you wanted to stir up. Herod was not the guy. Herod had killed a whole bunch. Herod killed his favorite, his wife that he loved the most, because he was suspicious of her. So he had her killed. And then when Herod was going to die, he rounded up hundreds of people, like senior leaders of the Jews, and he put them in a stadium. And he said, when I die, you kill them all. Because he said, if I die, I don't know who's going to be weeping, but there's going to be weeping when I die. So he rounded up and he had them there, and he was on his deathbed. And then he died, and his sister came out and said, oh no, he changed his mind. His sister saved them, because otherwise they were going to kill all these people. That was Herod. He was a merciless, murderous rogue. You didn't want to mess with him. But this is what it says. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, where is he who has been born the king of the Jews? For we've seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. And when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem was troubled with him. Because when Herod was troubled, everybody was troubled. Everybody knew something was coming. And then a group of shepherds started spreading stories about angelic choirs and a light show of the ages in Bethlehem, the city where the Messiah was supposed to be born. And they said, because all the Jewish sages were watching, because we know the scriptures had said, this is what's going to happen. Micah had said, listen, guys, in Bethlehem, you know it's going to happen. The Savior is going to be born there. And so when stories come out of Bethlehem of an angelic choir and the glory of the Lord shining around it, and shepherds running to the place and seeing the child, there's sheer intrigue, the delicious thrill of God showing up and angelic choirs and Herod's all knotted up. Something's going on in Israel. Luke 2, there were some in the same country, shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. Behold, the angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. And then suddenly there with the angel, a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, and you know the story. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. These shepherds became evangelists, made widely known. They went around all over. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which had been told them by the shepherds. And then you have a 30-year period where there's intrigue and whisper. Maybe the Messiah has come. We've heard about these angelic visitations. We've heard about glory shining around. And then there's an old man in the temple, Simeon, and God's spirit was on him, and he was waiting for a promise because God had promised him, I won't let you die. You'll see the Messiah before you die. And so he takes the child and he puts him right here in the crook of his arm, and he weeps and he sings a song, and he says, now, Lord, you can take me home because I've seen the Messiah. Luke 2, there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. And it was revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. And moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts, and when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you prepared in the sight of all nations, a light of revelation for the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Simeon sings the song and it's noised in the temple. Everybody goes, they know Simeon. He's told everybody, what are you doing here every day? I'm waiting for the Messiah. Why don't you just go home? Because God promised me I'm going to see the Messiah before I die. And as Simeon is finishing his song and his prophecy, another devout woman who's known to be a prophet comes up with him, and she prophesies her thanks to God and becomes a great evangelist for Jesus. And she now walks around the temple telling everybody who's come, hey, the Messiah has come. I saw him. There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Peniel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. And she lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, which is usually about 14. So she might have been 21 when she became a widow. And then she was a widow until she was 84. And she never left the temple. She dedicated her life as a widow to seeking the Lord, staying in the temple, fasting, praying, worshiping. And coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to everybody who was looking forward to the redemption of Israel. She prophesied the rest of her days. I've seen the Messiah. Messiah has been born. He's come. Micah said, the one who breaks open the way will go up before them. And they will break through the gate and go out. And their king will pass through before them. The Lord at their head. If you'll understand, we're in a season where the Spirit of God is poured out on all flesh, and anyone who believes can receive empowering from the Spirit of God. And Paul said in Ephesians, keep on being filled with the Spirit. It's a present active participle in the Greek. Be being filled with the Spirit of God. And there's not just this one moment where we interact with the Holy Spirit. There are multiple times when we can interact with the Holy Spirit and ask for his empowering and ask him to fill us afresh and anew. It's not just a one filling deal. It's an ongoing lifestyle of being filled with the Spirit of God. This is the season we're in. And it's time for the sheep after a night of restful, peaceful sleep. And now you can hear the rocks begin to fall at the doorway as the helper is helping and the shepherd starts to kick open the gate. And it's now a time the kingdom of God is breaking out. The Spirit of God is being poured out on people's life. And the question is, what are you doing? Because the sheep start to get restless in the pen. It's the time. And if you want to be people of Issachar who understand the times and know what needs to be done, it's time for us to be filled with the Spirit of God and to go out into the world and to walk in this way, to break out, open the way. There have been signs all over our nation in the last few years. There's been revivals up in North Georgia, Asbury. There's been mass baptisms. There's been miracles. There's been every week we have a testimony about God's beauty and provision and transformed lives and demons being cast out of people and addictions being broken off people and salvation coming to people and bodies being healed and minds being made whole and depression being broken and healing coming to their bodies and the joy of the Lord settling on people. Every week we're hearing what God is doing among us, and it's time for the sheep to be a little restless. It's not a time for us to be sitting back. It's not a time to find comfort in the cold walls of religion. It's time to step out and be filled with the Spirit of God and go out into the world and see the kingdom break out, because friends, the kingdom has started breaking out 2,000 years ago, and it's time for us to take it into our generation. You want to resonate with something? Let's resonate with this moment, with this season. Miracle babies and stories of provision and stories of restoration and relational breakthrough and the healings we saw at Thailand and Never Alone this morning and healings every time we minister anywhere. Prophetic words that are so divinely restored, supernatural encounters with just the right people. Next 1:8 says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And after he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. And they were looking intently up into the sky as he was going. And they gazed. And they gazed. And then he was gone, and they were gazing, and two angels appeared, and they were gazing. I think the angels. Why do you stand here looking into the sky? Maybe he's coming back. The same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you've seen him go into heaven. But you go and do what he told you to do. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you'll be my witnesses. All week, I've seen the sheep starting to get restless. Starting to be disturbed, waiting for the door to open. Some bold sheep not letting the time go by start to bump at the stones themselves. I'm not waiting. This is taking too long, bursting their way out. Because my people in the day of the Messiah will come bursting out of the sheep pen. That's what Micah said. And the king will go out before them. And the kingdom, the future, will burst in on the present. And some of the power of the future kingdom will be manifested now. And there will be signs and wonders. And there will be power demonstrations. And there will be prophecies. And there will be words of knowledge. And there will be healings. And there will be miracles. And they will happen through you, because the Spirit of God wants to fill you with his power. I'm going to ask Michelle to come up and just share, because the Lord has given her something. But this is the moment. Say, Greg, what should I be resonating with? this. There's a time for us to be impatient to see more power.
Amen. So I just want to share in line with what Greg's been sharing, the story in Matthew 14. So I won't read all of it for you for sake of time, but the picture is of the boat being buffeted by the waves and the wind. And it's in that story that Jesus walks on the water. And the disciples see him, they're terrified, they think they've seen a ghost. And he says, take courage, it's I. And then Peter says, tell me to come to you on the water. And Jesus calmly says, well, then come. And Peter walks on the water, but when he saw the wind, he started to sink. And something that I saw here was, there wasn't a denial. He saw the wind, he began to sink. Jesus was not unaware of the wind. And he reaches out his hand to Peter and he pulls him up. It wasn't a denial of the circumstances. It wasn't a calm, glassy sea that they were walking on. And throughout the Gospels, Jesus felt compassion. He felt deep grief for people. He grieved himself. He felt joy. It wasn't a denial, but his eyes were on his Father. His focus was his Father and the things of the kingdom. And he was always proclaiming the kingdom wherever he went. We see that people were healed, people were set free. And so I felt like there was a call, even this morning in this message, to look beyond the immediate, to look beyond what's right in front of us, to look beyond the natural. Because if I only focus on the storms, if the circumstances are my primary focus, and that's hard when the circumstances are screaming at you, but if those are the only thing I look at, and there will be, and there are many circumstances, I think we'll miss the kingdom of God manifesting all around us. We'll miss what God is doing. And over and above that, I think we can so easily miss the authority that we have to rebuke the storms, to heal the sick, to drive out demons. And so this is what I felt like this morning. I saw the Lord just the same way that he reached out to Peter. When Peter looked at the wind, I feel like there's just a hand from the Lord. It was almost like I've heard him say, would you look at me? Would you just turn your eyes to me? Would you look me in the eye? And it was personal to each one of us. Would you just look at me for a minute? Look at me, because I am your deliverer. Make eye contact with me, and I will show you myself. I'm your redeemer. I'm your provider. And I felt like he said, once you've done that, now go proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. This is what I believe. I think when we make eye contact with the King of Kings, amidst the storms, without denial what's going on around us, but when I look up, when he becomes my primary focus, I begin to walk in my kingdom authority because my eyes are on him. And that's what Jesus modeled. He was never in denial of the storms, but his eyes were always on his Father. And wherever he went, miracles happened. And that's for us too. There's a call, there's an invitation. Go and proclaim the kingdom, because I've given you power to overcome the enemy.
Amen. Praise God. We'd like to close in praying a prayer. I want to pray a prayer of impartation. I feel like there's a moment here where we can say, Lord, I want to be filled afresh with the Holy Spirit. And if you don't know you've been filled with the Holy Spirit, then this is definitely for you, right? For those of you who've known you've been filled with the Spirit for decades, this is also for you, because I'm going, Lord, empower me, because you will receive power. You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And that power will enable you to witness, to tell people, hey, the kingdom of God has come. We're not corralled anymore in a stone fortress. God is breaking out everywhere. The kingdom is breaking out. Bodies are getting healed. Minds are getting freed. People are getting saved. Freedom is coming to God's people everywhere, at all times, in all places, and it's coming through you and me. It's time.